Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
In this episode of the podcast, we discuss the career path of a great coach, Wallace Wade, and a historic day for wearing uniforms, as well as some Hall of Fame birthday memories, and it's all coming up in just one moment. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the dunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines and birthdays of Hall of Famers.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome once again to the Pigpen for this June 3rd football history headlines and birthdays of Hall of Famers. And we have a short but sweet podcast for you today. And we're going to start off on June 3rd, 1851. And though it's not totally confirmed, there is a common thread that there is the possibility that for the first time in United States history where a team wears a uniform occurred on this date in baseball when the New York Knickerbockers trotted out on the diamond wearing straw hats, white shirts, and long blue pants some 30 to 4 years later. This occurred in baseball. It translated into the game of football in the college ranks. Of course, minus the straw hats. January 3rd, 1951. The newspapers.com football history headline of the day comes from the Times-Dispatch in Richmond, Virginia, when it posted, "To his old boys, it's always Coach Wade." The story tells of how former head coach of Alabama and Duke, Wallace Wade, had just recently been named the Southern Conference's commissioner. It was a gripping story of when the new commish took the stage at his press conference, former players from both schools were there to welcome him to his new position. Wade had fought in both World Wars and still kept his coaching career going in a positive direction. Wallace started as a great football player at Brown University, and then that inspired him to coach. He was successful and impactful as from 1923 to 1930, he was the head coach of the Crimson Tide and led his teams to 3 national championships in those 7 years, per the Bleacher Report article. The Tide sported a record of 61 victories, 13 losses, and 3 ties during Coach Wade's 7 seasons at Alabama. At the end of the 1930 season, Wade shocked the sports world by announcing his intention to end his solid career at the University of Alabama to try his hand at an upstart program at Duke University. Duke was not known for being anything but mediocre in football, or any other sport at that time for that matter. It wasn't until much later in life that he revealed his real reason for leaving Tuscaloosa. Wade coached the Blue Devils from 1931 to 1941, and then again from 1946 to 1950. In 1941, the Blue Devils were 5-0 during the regular season and were named the Southern Conference champs. His Duke squad was awarded with the honor of playing in the 1942 Rose Bowl. In a bizarre turn of events, because of the events at Pearl Harbor, the Rose Bowl game was played at Duke Stadium. Duke hosted the Pacific Coast Conference champion Oregon State Beavers, losing the game to a well-coached team led by another college football legend, Lon Steiner. Wade then surprisingly relinquished his coaching role and enlisted into the Army as a foot soldier, but soon was promoted a couple of times to lieutenant colonel and eventually led the 202nd Field Artillery Battalion in the Battle of Normandy and the Battle of the Bulge. He was a hero, and he was awarded the Bronze Star, 4 battle stars, and was honored by the French government with the Croix de Guerre, the Cross of War, a medal received as a high honor for heroism. After the war, Wade returned to Durham to coach the Blue Devils once again for 4 more years, retiring as a head coach in 1950 at the age of 58. He was so respected at Duke that the university even named their football stadium after him, Wallace Wade Stadium in Durham, North Carolina. If you want to be able to read through some old articles like the Times Dispatch like we did today, you need to check out newspapers.com. At newspapers.com, you get access to over 640 million pages worth of the news from the US, Canada, England, Scotland, Ireland, and more, dating all the way back to 1798 and all the way as soon as yesterday. Get a free 1 week subscription to newspapers.com by visiting sportshistorynetwork.com/newspapers. And with a paid subscription, you'll also be helping the support of production of this and other Sports History Network shows. That's sportshistorynetwork.com/newspapers for your free 1 week today on us. Now let's get into some of these Hall of Fame birthdays for this June 3rd. And the first one took place in 1943 in Angleton, Texas. The great defensive back from Bishop College in Dallas, Texas, Emmett Thomas, celebrated his day of birth. It's hard to believe that this 6 foot, 2 inch, 192 pound player went undrafted. The Kansas City Chiefs saw his potential post-draft, though, and signed him to their squad as a free agent in 1966. He went on to have a great career with the Chiefs franchise, setting a club record with 58 career interceptions. 1969 was in particular a special season as he led the AFL with 9 picks and followed that up by intercepting 3 more passes in the playoffs and 1 additional to cap it off in the magical season, with adding 1 more in the Super Bowl IV for the win for Kansas City. In 1974, he had 12 interceptions, just 2 shy of the NFL record, and he was all AFL/AFC 5 times and played in 5 Pro Bowl games. And he was all NFL on the first or second teams in 3 different years in the early 1970s. Emmett Thomas was enshrined into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in the year 2008. June 3rd, 1959, Neptune City, New Jersey. Montclair State linebacker from 1977 to the 1980 season, Sam Mills was born. And I'm sure, standing at 5'9" tall, that Mills had more than one person doubting that his size would prevent him from being a successful linebacker. And boy, were they wrong. The footballfoundation.org informs us that Sam was a 2-time first-team All-American both in 1979 and the 1980 seasons. Mills finished his career at Montclair State with a school record 501 tackles. And Mills was nicknamed the Field Mouse, and he finished his career with 3 school records, including career tackles with 501, tackles in a season with 142, and 22 tackles in a game. Sam Mills received the great honor of being selected for inclusion in the College Football Hall of Fame in 2009. And Sam, out of college, first signed with the Cleveland Browns as an undrafted free agent in 1981, but he was released after the conclusion of the preseason. Sam tried to play pro ball again the next year in 1982 when he signed with the Toronto Argonauts of the Canadian Football League, but just like earlier in the year before, he was released before their season. It seems like the conventional wisdom of the day felt that the prototypical linebacker needed to be at least 6 foot tall, but there was a new opportunity coming up on the horizon, and that would showcase Mills' playing ability at the top levels of football, the USFL. The Browns head coach, who cut Mills earlier, suggested to a friend and head coach of the Philadelphia Stars, Carl Peterson, that he should give the undersized backer a shot in a new league. And that coach of the Browns, by the way, was Sam Rutigliano. Peterson never regretted it, as Mills became one of the cornerstones of the Stars' feared doghouse defense. During that time, he became known around the league for both his tenacity on the field and his leadership off of it. Baltimore Stars won the 1985 USFL title. Their head coach, Jim Mora, was signed to coach the New Orleans Saints, and after 3 years playing in the USFL, Mills followed Mora to the NFL. And during his tenure with the Saints, starting in 1986, Mills was the anchor of the defense. He was a member of the vaunted Dome Patrol, the incredible linebacking corps that led the Saints defense in the early 1990s. Mills earned 4 Pro Bowl appearances with the Saints and later played with the Carolina Panthers. He was named to the Pro Bowl a total of 5 times. And tragically, Sam was diagnosed with cancer in 2003, and this spurred him to found the Keeping Pounding Foundation at the Carolina Medical Center to advance cancer research in North Carolina. And Sam Mills unfortunately passed away in 2005 at the age of 45, much too young. And we got to make sure this guy gets in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, because what a player he was. You know, he's in the College Football Hall of Fame. He deserves to be in that Pro Football Hall of Fame because he had a great pro career both in the USFL and the NFL. June 3rd, 1977, Atlanta, Georgia. Matt Stinchcomb, the Georgia Bulldog tackle from the seasons of 1995 to 1998, arrived into the world. The NFF shares in Stinchcomb's bio that he was a two-time first-team All-American as he earned consensus honors following his senior season in 1998. The big tackle also claimed the 1998 Campbell Trophy as the top football scholar-athlete in the country. Matt helped Georgia to a 19-5 record during his junior and senior campaigns with respective victories in the Outback and Peach Bowls. Stinchcomb started 32 consecutive games for the College Football Hall of Fame coach Jim Donnan's Bulldogs, while he also claiming the Jacobs Blocking Trophy as the SEC's most outstanding blocker in 1998. The National Football Foundation selected Matt Stinchcomb for entrance into the College Football Hall of Fame in 2018. And after his collegiate days were over, Matt was selected as the 18th overall selection by the Oakland Raiders in the 1999 NFL Draft. He played five seasons with the Raiders, helping them to win the AFC Championship in 2002 and earn a trip to Super Bowl 37. He retired in 2006 following two seasons with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, we're not done yet because we have some more birthdays of some VIPs in the football realm that are not yet in the Hall of Fame. And these are June 3rd, 1892, James F. Duffy. He was a collegiate quarterback at Colgate University and later the head coach of the University of Detroit. As the head coach of the University of Detroit, Duffy molded the program into a national powerhouse in the early 1920s. And it should be noted he did take 1 year off in coaching to serve his country in World War I. Another birthday, June 3rd, 1965, Mike Shula. Yes, the famous coach's son, who also had some NFL coaching jobs himself. Most notably, he was the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals. Mike Shula was a graduate from the University of Alabama and even had the opportunity to serve as a school's head coach from 2003 through the 2006 season. And boy, that is just some great football history once again. We're sure glad that you were able to join us with us today and share in this great knowledge and the history of the day of June 3rd, and we hope you'll be back tomorrow to hear even more. And remember, we have a lot of bonus editions going on this week, so make sure you check out some of those. Football by Numbers is coming up. We have a talk with a gentleman that talking about the history of the USFL, and earlier in the week, we already had our Memorial Day segment on war heroes, our fallen football heroes that died serving their country. You can also check us out at pigskindispatch.com to see all of our blog posts, and we have some great comics there every Sunday. We have our podcasts are on there, and we also have some bonus edition blogs that full of football history. There's over 400 or 500 pages, different pages of football history there, so make sure you check that out. You can also go to the sportshistorynetwork.com and check out my partners over there. We have about 20 different podcasts on sports history that'll just fill your brains with all kinds of great knowledge, whether you're taking a nice long drive or you're at work, you're relaxing, you're taking a jog and have the headphones on, want something to listen to. Well, those are some great things to listen to right there. SportsHistoryNetwork.com. And until tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that, Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts. It's found right here on the Sports History Network.